The text that we meditate on this morning is drawn from that gospel lesson as we consider these words of truth, these three words of truth that Jesus or that Pilate spoke to Jesus. What is truth? What is truth? A cynic is someone who is distrustful of virtue, someone who shows contempt for all of the accepted standards of behavior, especially the standards for honesty and truth. Many people believe that Pilate, because of his words, was one. It's quite possible, though, that living in a political world, he had learned the lesson of our times. One group says this, another group says that. People mold and shape reality so that it fits whatever is according to their own personal agendas. People play footloose and fancy free with the truth, especially in the public arena, especially in public policy and the personality arena, which is the one in which Pilate was playing at the moment. So, cynic or not, Pilate was probably just a good Roman governor trying to rule his people, trying to control this mob, trying to fulfill his job and keep the peace. And in order to do that, he had to know. In order to do that, he had to know what is truth. Who was telling it? Was the Sanhedrin? Was Jesus? What is truth? Pilate wanted to know, wondered if he could know. But so do we. So many claim this, that, and the other when it comes to Jesus still today. What is the truth when it comes to Jesus? Because the stakes are high. The stakes are very high when you consider that eternity is a long, long time. So we want to make sure that we get it right. We want to know for certain what is true. Thankfully, we can. Not that Jesus answers the question today directly, but the text does provide the answers, all of the answers that we are looking for. It lets us in on this particular truth. That Jesus isn't simply what other people want him to be or expect him to be. Not the Jewish leaders, not Pilate, not the crowd, not anybody else. Jesus is the truth that God gives to you and me. When Jesus is arrested and put on trial, you might notice that there's not really anything that Jesus has done or that he is doing that they are upset about. They tried to pin something on Jesus. They tried to pin a charge on Jesus that he was actually planning, threatening to do something, to destroy the temple. But there are a lot of witnesses who conflicted as to just what Jesus meant when he said that, and they couldn't get anybody really to agree. So Caiaphas finally stands up and he just cuts to the chase. He gets right to the heart of the matter. Are you in fact the Son of the Blessed One? Tell us. Jesus plainly replied, yes, it is just like you say. That's what this trial is really all about. It's not about anything that Jesus has done or is doing. It's about something that he said with regards to himself. It's the fact that Jesus was claiming to be, I am the Son of God, the Savior, the Christ. And they just couldn't bear it. They just could not and would not bear to hear it anymore. But that's not what they presented to Pilate. If you note, when they went to Pilate, they had no more talk about this. This is what they finally condemned Jesus for. But when they went before Pilate, they made the case that Jesus was a troublemaker. Jesus was a rabble-rouser. Jesus was presented to Pilate as some kind of political liability, a threat to Roman power. He's claiming to be a king. But then Pilate looked at Jesus and he saw this humble, bound, bruised, and yet quiet Jesus. And he couldn't really quite believe what they were telling him. For Pilate, it might have actually been easier if Jesus was a rabble-rouser, if he was sitting up there violently resisting and trying to be some sort of a troublemaker or a rebel. Then he might have gone ahead and executed him with a very clear conscience. But the governor stood before the King of Kings, and he saw that he didn't look like any king that he had ever seen before, no king that he knew. Jesus wasn't what Pilate expected. He wasn't what many people expected or wanted him to be. John's gospel opens this way with these words. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. His own did not receive him. Not like they had. It's hard to fathom that 5 days before this, as Jesus rode into town, he rode into shouts of Hosanna. Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. But now the crowds are crying, crucify, crucify him. Early on, Jesus had told his disciples and the others that he wasn't a king like they were expecting, and he wasn't bringing in a kingdom like they were looking for. That his kingdom was something entirely different from what they had in mind. Jesus had told Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." But here's the problem. Many of those people who are out there in the crowd were looking for that kind of a kingdom. They were looking for that kind of a political kingdom. They were looking for someone to ride in and to restore all of the glory years of the people of Israel. They were looking for somebody to come in and overthrow this Roman power. They were looking for a priestly king who would come in and clean up their temple and all of their worship, who would be a teacher of righteousness. And when Jesus didn't ride in and fulfill all of these expectations, well, they turned on him. Quickly. It still happens today. People fashion all kinds of different views about Jesus. Some people really like the Jesus who entered into the temple, you remember, and overturned all of the money changers' tables. People like that Jesus. There are some. They look at that Jesus who overturned the tables and they think, that's the guy I like, the kind of guy who is a social justice warrior, who's coming in to right all the wrongs. Jesus the reformer. Jesus the political activist. But other people have problems with that kind of Jesus. Other people don't look for that Jesus. Other people look for a much more quieter, peaceful, and loving Jesus. Never mind Jesus' instruction to the woman caught in adultery. You remember how he forgave her for her adultery. But never mind the fact that Jesus then, after forgiving her, told her, now go and leave your life of sin. Don't continue any longer in this adultery. Leave your life of sin. A lot of people would like to ignore that because they would like to see a Jesus who never condemns anything, who never condemns any lifestyles, who's always accepting all of our personal habits, just taking them in, not just accepting us and loving us, but accepting all of our foibles, all of our mistakes, just saying, oh, it's okay, just continue doing what you're doing. That's the kind of Jesus they're looking for. And still more, think about Jesus as an influential teacher, a good man, one who brought a lot of good words and did a lot of good deeds, but again, nothing more. You see, people have all kinds of thoughts and ideas about who Jesus was, little bits and pieces from his life, and then they forget all of the rest. But remember, Jesus had a conversation with his disciples about people back then. They had all kinds of different ideas too. Jesus asked his disciples, who do the people say that me, the Son of Man, is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah, and others say the prophets. People say all kinds of things. People create their own truth, and they convince themselves that it is the truth. They convince themselves and they insist on it because they want it to be true. But that's not true. It's not truth. That's wishful thinking. Things aren't true. just because we want them to be true. What is truth? Here's some truth that we might not want to be true, but that doesn't make it any less the truth. Truth is that the wages of sin is death. Truth is that sin must be punished by a just and a true and holy God. Truth is that all of us come up short of the glory of God and stand in God's justice, unrighteous on our own. Truth is that Jesus had to come and take upon himself all of our wrongs. Truth is that Jesus had to go to that cross to suffer the punishment that was due us for a just God in the face of sin. The truth is we should have suffered for all eternity for our guilt, but the truth is, thankfully, that he poured out his blood. Jesus poured out his blood for the forgiveness of all of our sins. Here is truth. We don't need Jesus, the financial advisor. The truth is, you and I don't need some nice guy who makes us feel good about ourselves as we are doing wrong day after day after day. What we need is somebody who is willing to confront us with the injustices that are true about ourselves, but who is also there to rescue us, who is also there to take us out of that life of sin and to give us something entirely new. We need somebody who's going to rescue us from this sin and this death and this hell that we surround ourselves with. Otherwise, we are lost. What we need is a king, unlike any king this world has known, who came not to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for you and for me. And thank God, here it is. Here is that king. Here is that king standing there in Pilate's hall. Here is the truth. Not just one who comes and who is true or who is truthful. Jesus reminds us in this very first chapter, grace and truth came through Jesus, whether people believed him or not. A king and a kingdom unlike any other. A king who made himself last, who took on the very nature of a servant, even a servant who was willing to give himself unto death, even death on a cross, who made himself last so that we might be first. This is truth as well, that God became man. God became man in Jesus. Jesus who perfectly obeyed that law that you and I could not fulfill. Jesus who came and faithfully did everything that his Father had commanded him to do, even when we rejected him. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The religious leaders didn't want that king. The crowd didn't want that king either. They wanted Barabbas. But Jesus will go and he will do what his Father has asked him to do for you and for me. He will save his people. He will save you and me from our sins. This King of Kings will establish a kingdom in which his people will hear his voice and they will listen. What is truth? Listen to this. Listen to him who promises that he had to go to Jerusalem. He had to suffer many things, that he had to be killed, but on the third day, he would be raised. Jesus said what he would do, but he also amazingly did what he said. Hear what he says. Everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Whoever believes in me shall not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, the truth and the life. Amen. Please take out the white card in front of you today. If you would fill it out so we have a record of your being with us. If you are visiting with us this morning, would like to learn a little bit more about Christ Lutheran, what's going on here, maybe inquire about joining us and being a part of us regularly, you can indicate that there. We'd be happy to tell you our story. As you do, please turn it over and we pray together the call to Christian fellowship on the back. Dear Father in heaven, we have gathered together in Christian fellowship to worship you. We've confessed our sins and we thank you for your forgiveness. We've sung praises to you and listened to your holy word. Help us now to return to our homes and families filled with your Holy Spirit. Give us the courage to love others as you love us. And by our words and actions, make us your witnesses here on earth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We gather our gifts for the Savior.